Now, the Federal Drive with Tom Temin and Emily Kopp.
Good morning. Thanks for making the Federal Drive part of your day. Federal News Radio asked federal workers to nominate their bosses for a leadership award. This hour, two award-winning managers and a leadership expert join us in a special Federal Drive panel discussion. We'll look at what can make a good leader and how they can motivate their employees to do the best work.
Joining us in studio is Max Steyer, president of the Partnership for Public Service, and two of the Federal News Radio's top leader award winners, Bev Godwin, director of the Federal Citizen Information Center at the General Services Administration, and Charlie Rothwell, Director of the Division of Vital Statistics at the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention's National Center for Health Statistics. Good morning to you all.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
All right, let's start with Bev and Charlie. Tell us what you do in your jobs, first of all, just to set the scene here and maybe describe your team. Bev, why don't we start with you?
Well, I think I have the best team in government, but I'm the director of the Federal Citizen Information Center, as you said, and our mission is to get government information and services to the public wherever, whenever, and however they want. And that has changed drastically over the years from print to phone to web to social media, and we offer it in all channels.
It used to be all in Pueblo, Colorado or something,
yes,
right?
Yes, and we still have Pueblo alive and well for those agencies that need to get print copies to the public, but we have lots of Twitter and Facebook and Pinterest and other social media.
All right. And Charlie, what happens at the vital statistics area?
We're the oldest and longest data collection system in the United States, continual. Everything that you read about infant mortality, everything you read about teenage pregnancy, emerging causes of death, high rates of teen pregnancy in various areas, family formation issues. All this comes from the vital statistics of the United States, which actually comes from the states and local communities. So we deal with all the communities and states in the country to gather the vital statistics that you see every day.
All right. And how big are each of your teams? Because, of course, people who work for both of you have nominated you for this award. So, Charlie, how many people do you manage?
Well, of course, I have a variety of other managers within my organization, but we have about 100 staff and then about 20 or 30 contractors. But really what we have are all the state personnel and personnel in hospitals and physicians throughout the country that provide us the information. So it's a combined effort, governmental and private effort.
And Bev, describe your team.
Sure. I have about 45, 50 people in D.C. who are employees and contractors, about 50 in Florida who answer 1-800-FED-INFO, as well as answer the email and web chat that comes into USA.gov, and then in Pueblo, about 35 people.
All right. And Max Steyer, you have followed this whole idea of leadership for so many years at the partnership. Tell us, what defines leadership in the first place?
Well, you've got the best definition in your studio right now, the individuals you have here who you're honoring, and congratulations to both of you. Good leaders are people who are able to make our government work better. I mean, and they do it in a variety of different ways. And the most important is they help make their teams, the questions that you just asked, work in a more effective fashion and therefore deliver better for the American public. It's something that we need, particularly today, more than ever.
And we should say, as we mentioned before, that your staffs wrote glowing nominations for you. Neither of you would be here if they hadn't. Charlie, about you, one person wrote that you have vision with a capital V. So I want to ask you a little bit about that particular quality as a leader. First of all, what is your vision, and what does vision mean anyways to you?
Well, I think you need to know where you want your organization to go, and that has to be extremely clearly defined for your staff. And by that, it needs to be understandable, and it needs to be believable. And also, you need to be able to then let them do the work. You're not taking them to your goal. They're taking you. What you need to be able to do is convince them that this is where our organization needs to be, and let them decide how best to get there.
I imagine that must be a difficult thing in itself in the public sector, because very often you don't really have 100% control over where your organization is going, because there's so many other external factors, Congress, agency, departmental leadership, that can blow it off course relative to what you might have hoped for.
It's really easy to give that as an excuse. We're here as leaders to get the job done. We knew what we were getting into when we got into public service. Those types of measures and countermeasures to make sure that we don't go off the deep end are appropriate. We have to deal with that and make things work and get on with it and not complain about it.
And Bev, of course, GSA has been buffeted here and there so much over the years. It's one of those agencies that seems to be that way. And yet your mission has not changed that much, even though the technology has. So what's your secret sauce for why those people said that you practically walk on water?
Well, you know, my philosophy has always been our people are our greatest resource. And if you really believe that from the bottom of your heart and treat them that way, all else falls in place. It is about achieving the goals of the mission of your organization. But I totally agree with Charlie. The people are that work for you are the ones that get you there.
And they didn't see you traipsing across the reflecting pond either. I mean, they really do feel that you're quite the leader there.
Bev, tell us about your Hero of the Week award.
Yeah, so, you know, when you're in tough budget climate, you have to be creative on how you thank employees and recognize employees. And so I decided to do a Hero of the Week, which has no money attached to it. But just at our weekly staff meeting, I give a hero. Recognize a hero. And we have this statue that is a very ugly statue of a person like with a hand blowing a kiss. And we pass that statue around and it's very noticeable. So the hero gets to put it on their desk for the week. And it started out, there are no rules around it. I could do 6 heroes one week and one the next. I can do a team. I can do an individual. It gives me the flexibility depending on what's going on in the office. But it's become so popular. People are nominating their peers. They're nominating each other in their self-assessments at the end of the year. They talk about that they got to be hero. And so it's been a very effective, more than I ever imagined.
Max, can you just tell us, I mean, as Bev referred to, this is a really tough time all around for the federal government. I mean, it's sequestration day for, you know, and what would you say right now is the state of leadership in general? As you look across the federal government, is it healthy? Is it sick?
No, it's certainly not healthy. And I think the important thing is you've got great people like Bev and Charlie here. And so there are, you know, amazing people. And one of the challenges, I think, is not to paint with such a broad brush that you forget that not only are there people like them here, but also that if you only focus on the negative, you're not likely to generate more positives. And I think that's one of the larger challenges for the federal government is that all you hear about are negative things, and very rarely do you get examples like you're doing here, which I think are so essential, of highlighting what we want to see more of. As a parent of 2 young children, I know in my heart of hearts that positive reinforcement is much, much more effective than the negative. Not that I always follow that rule, but again, the balance is all wrong in the federal government, and I think that, honestly, part of that is structural with the IG system we have and a variety of other incentives that make people focus on the negative, but part of it can be addressed by better leadership, by better senior leadership in the executive branch and Congress. They should see their jobs as actually making the government healthier, and by and large, they don't. They certainly don't prioritize it. Part of it would be recognizing more of the great things that are going on. So in general, no, I would say, you know, the overall grade is an F if you're being generous. It's horrific. I mean, this is our government, and we're treating it not as a collective asset, but as a punching bag. It's no good.
And it's maybe safe to say, though, that in the last week's debate over the effects of sequestration and the drumbeat of a negative news that has been coming, say, from the White House, in a way, that's kind of a backhanded compliment to the federal bureaucracy, if you will, by saying, look what happens if we constrain it too much.
Yes and no. I mean, I think if you examine what's been said, I think one of the great challenges is that you don't have a very comprehensive understanding about what the outcomes are. So oftentimes it's the intermediate things like people who are employed rather than what is it you're going to actually get as an American taxpayer for the investment that you're making. So we do a real bad job of communicating that.
So we're going to take a short break. We're going to talk a lot more about leadership when we return.